Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, denizens from around the world. The planet is listening to the world's first politics show for Generation E, McWilliam Cyberline, coming at you via the internet coast to coast and podcasts. Okay, so this show is for 27 August 2022. And for the boys and girls down in the record keeping department, thousands of miles below the Earth's crust, this is record number 22-35-2. And there's no satellite in there because Mr. Peavy hasn't paid the bill to get us on. So we're learning how to do this without satellite. So Mr. Peavy thought that we were going to do medium, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. So going back to Cali.
Yeah. Okay. So guess what Cali did? Yeah. Everybody's already heard, I'm sure, but they banned gas-powered vehicles by 2035.
Blink your eyes and it'll be here before you know.
I'm telling you, it's just the way they go through and do all this stuff. You remember that we learned during the Trump administration, it's like, how did they get all this power? We learned during the Trump administration that basically California has this special exemption going on.
Mm-hmm.
They get to do whatever they want to make everything better with the world. Well,
and make our lives a living hell.
It does, because what it does is it causes the rest of the state's problems. You realize that most of the EVs right now are sold in California.
Yep.
And that's because of the laws that they put in place. Well, all of the car manufacturers, it's like, well, we've only got a limited supply of these EVs. We're really just getting this technology out the door. And, you know, so we're going to send them. Guess where we're going to send them? They all, you know, 25% of the RAV4 Primes, the one of the vehicle that I want,
yep,
they go to California first. And then you can go get them there. But that's where I've got the problem with all this stuff is when California sets these rules, all of the car manufacturers, they go there first. So if you want the latest and greatest vehicle, and remember a PHEV, the advantage to PHEVs is that is a plug-in hybrid, vehicle. So plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. And that what that means is it's not just got a battery in it. It's got a battery that you can plug into the wall. If you get a
like
hybrid
wall socket.
Yeah. If you get a hybrid, you're not going to necessarily able to plug that into the wall outlet.
Yeah. You have a special wall
so,
outlet.
Yeah. So you're looking for the advantage to a PHEV is you can use the cheaper electricity and you can top off your vehicle during the night. Now, granted, I know a lot of people want to get the EVs too. If you do want to do that, fantastic. I'm not too big on the whole recharging on this. I think they take too long to recharge. Some of them, you know, they're making strides and inroads in the technology, but I'm not ready to buy just a pure electric vehicle yet. But when you are, guess what? They're going to California. And that's where the problem lies, is they've set requirements that are so high that they've put themselves in the driver's seat on this stuff. And it goes, you know, everything goes to them first. So it's bothersome. Now, the percentages aren't going into effect immediately. It's not like, you know, in 2034, you know, you still get all the electric vehicles in the day, 2035, boom, it's all gone. No, they're phasing it in over time. So let's see, 35% of the total new vehicles will be powered by batteries or hydrogen by 2026, 68% by 2030, and then the rest of them get phased in. You know,
what I don't like about this deal is they're talking about getting rid of gas vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Well, a hybrid It gets better mileage, but it is a gas vehicle. It's gas and battery.
Yeah, yes, it is.
And I don't see any exemption for that because it's gas. Oh, well, you can't use a hybrid. Because by that time, hybrids are still on the market. People are still buying them.
Yeah, you're right.
And by 2035, your hybrid may be used, but you know what? It's paid for, and you could take it wherever you want to go.
No, they're not banning the existing vehicles from the roads.
I know, but I'm just saying by that time, there's not going to be a hybrid.
They're banning the sales of the new vehicles in California by 2035. Now, what's going to end up happening, too, is if you get a Republican in office, I don't know. If you get Trump in office, Trump will reinstitute the, California, we're going to pull back that exemption, which is going to throw the car market in disarray.
And what's sad about that again, is it's only for a whopping 4 years because he's not going to be able to get a second term like somebody else that comes in.
Yeah.
Because they'll fight him just like they did the last time.
We'll see. You know, because you got DeSantis that's pretty popular as well.
Yeah.
I think if Trump wants to run, you know, which it sounds like everything sounds like he wants to run. But he, you know, because of all these campaign laws, you cannot say I'm running because all of a sudden, boom, everything flips on what you can and can't do and all the money that gets going.
Yeah. You know, and what I hate about California,
it affects
is,
everything.
You know, they're going to do this and the fix is in because they're going to do this. And a car company is not going to look at California and say, oh, well, I got to capitulate to you and give you EVs. And then I've got to make gas-powered units for the other 49 states.
Uh-huh.
They'll just say, you know what? We're going to get rid of gas, and we're going to follow California, and then everybody's going to have an EV. And the other problem I have is, you know, 2035, and you and I are kind of in this group. There's going to be a lot of people retiring between 2030 and 2035.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be getting their affairs in order because, you know, a lot of people, when they retire, the first thing they do is, of course, they pay the house off because, you know, they're shedding as many bills as they can, and they will go out and buy new things because they figure, well, by the time they get to be a problem, I ain't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is going to be updating the house with an air conditioning heating system, and the other one is a new car.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times they'll go with a off-lease or used car, but that punch, they're going to say, I want a new car. I don't have to worry about it falling apart. Mm-hmm. And when I do get a problem, I ain't going to be here and it's going to be somebody else's problem.
I still envision that by 2035, we're going to see all golf carts all over California. Every vehicle will be a golf cart. So works for me. Fine.
Yeah. And you're on a fixed income. You know, they're already complaining now about, oh, it's $35,000 to $45,000 to go out and buy an EV. And a retirement, you know, person is getting ready to be on a fixed income, they're not going to be able to make those payments.
No.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not real happy with the way they're doing that. And again, getting back to Texas, I'd like to get my PHEV. And just that it gets misdirected over there.
You can get it. You just got to go to California, fly on a plane, and drive
it back. I probably will have to do that. Plus, I hope that they're finally getting, you know, this... that other story that we talked about where we see the GPUs are back in style or that they're coming down and we're starting to see excesses. I'm hoping that the same, that this overflow will actually fly back to the cars. Because for the longest time, you could not get out. I think that the whole thing on this Bitcoin thing, since all of the silicon was going towards dedicated towards all these GPUs and the GPUs were going towards Bitcoin. Well, not Bitcoin necessarily, but
cryptocurrency.
You know, all the cryptocurrency stuff. Since it was going to do all this mining stuff, I think that took away a lot of the silicon from all this other area. And now I'm hoping that it's going to flow back in. That's what I really want to see. I want to see the shortage, the supply chain get back in order. Because we're still having problems.
Yeah, and most of all, this has been going on too damn long.
Yeah, it has been going on too long. You still go to the car lots, and the car lots are empty. I'm not, every time I've gone in to try to get something or look at something, no, the car lots are empty. You can't go you can do test drives, but it's a bit of a challenge. You don't necessarily, you know, that's
there's
only
not many
if
on the
one.
Lot to
yeah.
test drive.
They might have one, they might not. And that's where I'm kind of shocked. I'm surprised that the showrooms themselves don't have the vehicles to show because every vehicle that they get in, they sell. They yeah. can't keep them on the lot. And so you're not getting to test one unless you test somebody's new vehicle or that car is going to be sold very quickly. It's problematic.
Yeah, it used to be a time you can kind of kick the tires and think about it. Uh-huh. There ain't been any tires there to kick or think.
Right.
That quickly.
But hopefully I will be able to get one soon. Because people are tired of hearing me complain about mine not having my car yet. So.
Well, I'm clinging to my gas-powered car as long as I can. Uh-huh. I don't want to be tied to an electrical vehicle. I don't want to be monitored. I don't want to have all the crap that they're going to put into this thing.
But that's where the best of both worlds is. I'm not going full EV. I'm going, you know, hybrid, which means I'm going both gas powered and plug-in hybrid. So if it's as long as I've got to go short distances, I can drive this car around all day. And that's what happened during the hurricane, or, you know, remember the hurricane down in Houston, where all of a sudden all of the gas stations in the DFW area, because there was a scare, there was a run on gas.
That was Harvey.
Yeah. Oh, Harvey. Yeah. But all of the gas stations were out of gas here. And it was weird, too. We hadn't seen that in forever. And all of a sudden we're seeing lines to get gas.
Yeah.
That was just insane. And I want to be able to have dual fuel vehicles. And when I say dual fuel, I mean, you know, electricity. If I can plug it into the wall, that's fantastic. And then if I can use gasoline as well. And if I've got no problems, you know, if someone's out of gas, I want to be able to drive that car down on
electricity. I don't want an EV. They're going to be monitoring you. And then they're trying to do that tax per mile thing. So there's going to have to be software in there to take care of that. And then that means there's going to probably be an armed IRS agent that they're going to miniaturize and put in your glove box.
I'll tell you
what. Keep track of your tax.
Yeah. As long as it depends on if it gets back to whether it's state controlled or federal government controlled. If it's federal government controlled.
It's federal. They want their
money. Yeah. Yeah. We're seeing too many things that are like, oh, we've got to put this in place so we can force taxation. More money. Yay.
Yep.
That's what we're looking at. That's what scares.
And we're not going to be able to go where we want to go because, one, we won't be able to afford it. And, two, you don't want to be going there because they're going to say, oh, where you been? Why'd you go there? Why don't you take the bus?
They can already do that.
I know.
I mean, there's too much in there already. It really is upsetting that all of our movements, you know, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's your car, just driving down the street, or maybe you drive through the toll booths. There's so much data out there that's available.
I don't mind the toll booth. Uh-huh. You know, I'm okay with the toll booth.
Well, there's so much data out there that's tracking your every movement, and it really, I don't know. I mean, you can't hold technology back, but man, the government agencies.
It's not a matter of the technology. It's when the government forces the technology on you.
They are gleeful to get that data.
You know, it's like with the toll tag. I can take the toll or I can't take the toll.
Uh-huh.
You know, if the toll is high, well, I'm going to find some other road to go down to get from it. And I don't mind a toll tag. It's just a matter of, you know, I can control that, whether I want to be on that road or not.
Right.
Everywhere I go, the government's going to tax me per mile, and I won't have that control.
I don't like them having that just as a matter of business. If not in the Constitution, stop it.
Okay. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about the SLS. And a donut and some people in space when we get back. You're listening to McWilliams Cyberline, the world's first Polytech talk show. McWilliams Cyberline with you. Host 2020 at cyber-line.com. Facebook.com/CyberlineNet. Neverlovin' Tweety at CyberlineUSA. Don't forget cyber-line.com. The website where you can go up there and hear all the places that we are 24/7, some of your favorite podcast places, and also the blog. McWilliams Cyberline is mixed in there somewhere as well. Social media is our arena. Amy Lynn taking care of that for us. So Monday is big day, weather permitting, technology permitting, and everything else. And one of those things is that the SLS with the Orion spacecraft atop is supposed to be launching.
Oh, cool.
It's going to do its thing, and it's going to go around the moon. It's going to take it a month. Uh-huh. Do all these checkouts and everything, and then, of course, the Orion
capsule. It's going to go around the moon.
Around the moon and back. And it will do all this little checking, telemetry and stuff. Take it about a month, and then it will come back to Earth, and the Orion capsule will come in. I don't know where it's going to land. But hopefully, if all goes well, you will be able to see it, hopefully, on the news channels. Mm-hmm. If you don't have cable or satellite, of course, you'll be able to – Newsmax will probably show it, which will be a free app if you don't have it already. And if you have your cable or satellite, you know, you have CNN, Fox, or whatever, I'm sure they'll be showing it as well. NASA has an app on most stuff, and it'll probably carry it live from the NASA app as well as the
I'll be checking it out because, I mean, that's the greatness that is this country. I'm so glad to see us getting back into it. And again, guess what? Who do we attribute this to? Elon Musk.
Yep. And Donald Trump, part of it too, because he's the one that set it all up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, we're supposed to put people on the moon by 2024. Right. He did. That's probably going to happen. But not to be outdone, and you better make your plans, because what's going to happen is Krispy Kreme has coming out on the day of the launch, which is supposed to be Monday, and they are going to have a Krispy Kreme Artemis Moon donut to launch the same day. And so they're going to do this new limited edition donut inspired by the mission's destination. And it's set to go on sale the same day that they launch the SLS. It's going to lift off the Orion spacecraft, fly around the moon and everything. So it's a one-day-only Artemis Moon donut, cheesecake, cream-filled donut dipped in cookies and cream, icing with a swirl of cookie pieces. And according to Krispy Kreme, they said the Artemis 1 mission's proud moment. We are in awe of the amazing Americans behind the world's most powerful rocket. So we created these delicious donuts to enjoy while you watch the launch, says David Skena, Global Chief Brand Officer for Krispy Kreme, back in a statement on Friday. The Orion spacecraft and the rocket will stay in space longer than any ship for the astronauts have done without docking to a space station. But our Artemis Moon donut will be available only Monday. So start the countdown and don't miss it.
What time? What time? As soon as they open or what?
I guess as soon as they open.
Wow.
You imagine all the people going to have to be making them suckers? They're probably working on them right now, getting them ready.
You know, there's been times that there's long lines at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. And just for the regular donut.
Yeah, I would think that we're going to see this again on Monday.
Yep. But we talked about it off air earlier. What happens if the mission gets scrubbed? And they launch on, say, Wednesday.
I hope they have 2 days of donuts.
Do we get the donut?
I want 2 days of donuts.
So are they going to sit on the trays, ready to go, and then the countdown goes, and when they say liftoff, then the door is open and you get a donut, or all of a sudden, oh, we're waiting at 5 minutes. There's rain in the area.
They are very clear that what they just said is that we want you to have your donuts while you're watching the launch.
But if the launch gets scrubbed.
If it gets scrubbed, you know, they can't know that. So they've got, as far as I'm concerned, they've got to make it for a second day.
Time to make the donuts
That's
again.
That's right.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, so, you're really taking a big chance here. How many times have we watched a shuttle flight and get down to 5 minutes because it's a seven-minute deal and then the two-minute deal, and then all of a sudden it gets scrubbed due to weather or somebody has a tuna boat?
I'm just saying that donut sounds really good.
Yeah.
I want that donut 2 days.
Yep.
I want it one.
Krispy Kremes to go to.
I only want it 1 day because I want to see that launch take off that first day.
All right. You're listening to Vic Williams Cyberline. We'll be right back.